Amen. Well, isn't the Lord good? Amen. Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Thanking God for his many blessings and his mercies upon us. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5, and then we're going to go over to James chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 5. First Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Praise God. We've been talking about recognizing our enemy so that we would be able to resist him. And so this is lesson number 4, and I want to go over to the book of James chapter number 1, James chapter number 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Praise God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word, for your spirit, for your wisdom today that you have imparted unto us and will do so. I pray, God, that you would reach down into this place tonight and that you would help us, God, to gain further understanding. Lord Jesus, help us, God, to be wise concerning the devices of our enemies. Lord, lest he should have the advantage over us. I pray, God, that you would move in this place, Lord, today. And we will be quick to give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. I'm not going to belabor the point and trying to go through all of our lessons, but we understand that lesson 1, we were just learning who that the enemy was, and that we would be able to recognize him in other forms and various ways. He may be as a roaring lion, but he's not a roaring lion. He may be more subtle than any beast of the field, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he is the beast or a beast of the field. He may be presented and representing himself as an angel of light, or in other words, he's got a revelation telling you that you don't have to be obedient to the Bible, or you don't have to do that now, and that was back then for the Bible days and stuff. Or he may just come unto you as just a sly old fox, wolf in sheep's clothing, or something like that. But I do know that the Bible teaches us that when we look upon him in that final day, we're going to look and say, is this the one? Is this the one that caused the nations to tremble? Praise God. Lesson 2, we learned about confusion, learned about light and darkness, understanding and confusion. We know that God is for knowledge and that the enemy is for confusion. And so that's the way that the enemy works in your life. And you have confusion in your life. You don't know what to do. And when you don't know what to do, it's time to stand still. It's time to stick to the old paths. Not saying that we're leaving the old paths or anything else like that. But I asked a man one time many years ago, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, and he was a faithful saint of God. And I said, brother, I said, do you know what is right? He said, I do. I said, do you know what is wrong? And he said, I do. I said, then do what's right. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as that. We don't need to overcomplicate the matters. And when you don't know what to do, then just continue to do what you've been doing, or continue to do what's right. And if you have confusion about it, then just stop. Stand still until you can see the salvation of the Lord. And God will come through, because that's his will. And God's not going to hide his will from us. That's the will of the Lord. That's what he wants for us. And so he's not going to hide it from us. Lesson 3, we began to talk about recognizing that most evil one, lest he should get an advantage of us. And we talked about neither giving place to the devil. And so you can't try to be resisting the devil in one area while you're giving him place in another area. If he has authority and leeway in your life in one spot, then he's not going to leave you alone. Amen. You need to be consistent in all things and kick that devil out. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And so then we begin to talk a little bit about resisting spiritual influences, and that in order to do that, we've got to respond to God. To respond to God is to resist the devil. So when the Lord moves upon you and says, moves upon you to worship, then worshiping is to resist the devil. And if the Lord tells you to do something, then to do that is to resist the devil. Praise God. And it's not only just being implied to you through your mind or through your spirit, but it's the Word of God. If the Word of God speaks to you, if something in the Word of God stands out to you or there, or to not do the will of God when you know what's right and you say, well, here's what the Bible says, but then you don't do it, you are not resisting the devil. And we have to resist the devil. We've got to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise God. And so we're going to get into this here tonight, and I just want to reiterate here today that the desire of your enemy is to completely destroy you. He's not interested in being your friend. He's not interested in getting into investment purposes with you so that he can gain and you can gain and you can help one another. He's not interested in that. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of John that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his plans for you. Amen. He's not looking, and even if he was looking to make you some kind of multimillionaire, it would cost you your soul. Amen. If the Lord wants to make you a multimillionaire, amen, you're still going to have salvation in the end of it. Amen. But the devil always has a price. I'll do this if you'll do this. And you know, what is the price of your soul? Because that the only thing is that he comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Praise God. And so we have to recognize this. We have to recognize that this must not be construed to a one-dimensional platform in the way that he does it. First of all, he may come in the form of false doctrine. Amen. He may come in the form of false doctrine. He may start talking to you and telling you that this doesn't matter anymore, and this is okay, and that this was for the Bible days, or this doesn't really mean this, and such. And so you've got to realize that he is the epitome. When you look up false doctrine, you're probably going to get the picture of Satan himself sitting right there beside it. He is the master of all of that. Why? We've talked a little bit about it before, but you understand that his beef is with the God of glory, and that he when God was manifest in the flesh through the man Christ Jesus, he set out to destroy him, to kill him, to annihilate him, and he thought that in killing the humanly body of Christ that he had put God to death, but the Bible teaches us that God arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He has the keys to this, and that 3 days later when he rose victorious, amen, and the enemy was astounded by all of that, and then some 40 days later, 50 days later, we would see that Pentecost would take place, and the church is born, and all of these people are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the devil really didn't change his plan. He just continued to try to make it stronger and more, and so he's trying to kill all of the church. He tried to kill Stephen, and he killed others, and there were many martyrs that was there and such, but the church never diminished. The church continued to flourish, and so he thought that the only way that he could do it was to destroy their foundation and their basis, and so therefore all of these false doctrines are accumulated and made and such. And so let me just be honest and open here today that he has tried and that he is trying everything that he possibly can. I want you to know, and you do not need to be afraid, and you do not need to be caught off guard, but the devil will get so close to looking like the truth that if you don't have discernment and if you don't have a good knowledge of the Word of God, amen, you could be deceived into believing a lie that you would be lost. Praise God. Amen. You got to hold to this this good book. Praise God. There have been events that have happened in the past 2 to 3 weeks in our nation that has shook our nation and caused many people to not necessarily second guess what they believe, but to quote unquote awaken to what they believe. And somebody told me, they said that in the past 2 weeks that church attendance has been on the rise over 700% throughout the nation because a man of one man that had died and such. And so I've had long conversations to other people and to, amen, even to a friend, and we began to talk about this. And I said, you know what? Let me just say it like this. Let me just say it like this. I'm not putting anybody in heaven. I'm not putting anybody in hell. All of that is between God and the maker and the keeper of the soul. Praise God. But I am going to tell you there's only one way to be saved, and that is through the book of Acts, chapter number 2 and verse number 38. You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And you must be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. There is no other way. There is no other door. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that if you come in any other way, you are a thief and a robber. There is no other way. Honey, let me tell you something. That's the way that you get saved. That's not the way that you stay saved. In order to stay saved, you got to come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. You got to live a holy life. You got to live a dedicated life. Amen. You got to be clean. Amen. From all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Praise the Lord. Can I say that there's going to be a lot of good people, amen, that are going to take some kind or form of martyrdom. And that just because that you are martyred does not mean that you are saved. Just because that an individual is martyred does not mean that they are saved. My Bible says that in that last day that Jesus, the Lord, that he would look at those, amen, and he would say, depart from me, I don't know you. And they will say, Lord, did not we cast out devils in your name? Did not we do many mighty miracles in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You know what's a safe place for the church? Stay out of the judging lane. Stay out of the lane that puts people in heaven or in hell. That's God's business. You know what our business is? Our business is to share the gospel. Our business is to proclaim the gospel. Our business is to show people the light of this glorious gospel, and the source of that light is Jesus Christ. Let everything else be left in the hands of the Master. Praise the Lord. I have heard so much. I have heard so much that it's just about nauseated me. Amen. And I have looked in bewilderment, I guess to say. I make up my own words as I go. Amen. I have looked in bewilderment, and I have been amazed even at how so many of the apostolics and the Pentecostals basically are saying that such an individual is in heaven sitting around the Master and stuff. Amen. Friend, and one person asked me, he said, I'll just ask you this question. He said, where would you say it is? Where would you say that Charlie is and stuff? I said, I'd be foolish to answer that question. I'm not God. I don't know what happened between him and his Master and all that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to step into the arena, amen, of God. When you start stepping into the arena, amen, of places that God never called you to be, that's when you are going to get in trouble. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If I wasn't called to preach and I tried to step into the office of a minister and tried to pastor, amen, I would be in trouble with God. As a minister, as a saint, if I step into the arena trying to judge judge people and put people in heaven or in hell, I'm going to be in trouble with God. But you see, the devil wants to play with your emotions. The devil wants to play, amen, with your feelings. Amen. You got to keep your feelings and your emotions out of it and just stay in the book. Praise God. That's what we got to do. We're going to be the same thing that we were. We're going to be the same thing today that we were yesterday. We're going to preach the same thing today that we preached 15 years ago. We're going to believe the same thing today and tomorrow that we've always believed. And that is going to be what the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter preached during their life and their ministry upon the face of this earth. I'm not going to be caught up in the rhetoric of all of the world and stuff. I want to stay true to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. The devil wants to play with your emotions and play with your feelings and stuff. Amen. That's why you got to keep this good book tucked in tight. Amen. And hold on to it. Amen. Because it's out of this book that we're going to be judged. I want to be saved. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes it's not just false doctrine and hopes and such like that, but the devil will come against us with spiritual oppressions. Amen. He's going to use oppressions, not necessarily possession, but oppression. Amen. To try to wear down and wear out the saints of the Most High. How is he going to do that? Through isolation and separation. Amen. The United States coined the phrase many, many years ago, united we stand and divided we fall. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to try to prevent. He understands the power of unity. And so he's going to try to separate you from the body. He's going to try to get you separated from your own. That's what the lion does. The lion comes in and tries to separate the weak one out. All of the predators of the field, amen, they look for the weak one that is isolated off. Amen. Even in a prey, in a pack of wolves and such. Amen. That leader has got to show himself strong, because when he begins to show his weakness and begins to show his age, then there are going to be those that are going to step up and try to take his place. You got to stand firm upon the rock. You got to stay tight in the church. Amen. Even as Jesus would say, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've got a heaven to make. I want to make heaven. I've got to be wise, and I cannot give place to the devil for anything. Oppressions and physical conditions. Amen. He'll work on your physical condition. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Amen. Praise God. I don't understand everything that I've heard. I don't understand everything that I know. And I'd be foolish to stand up here and try to proclaim it and say, well, it's because of this or it's because of that. I'm just telling you right now, amen, as a minister of the gospel, there's still things that make absolutely no sense whatsoever at all to me. I just got to hang on to God. I just got to trust God. The Bible teaches us that his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Amen. I'm not going to understand it. I'm not going to be able to gain comprehension of it and such like that. I've just got to trust him. But I have heard of people with physical ailments, and they have lived in under the cloak and under the cloud of pain and stuff, and they just couldn't take it, and they backslid, and they went and they got on drugs and such like that, and some of them blew their mind. Some of them committed suicide and stuff. I don't understand all of that. I don't know. But the one thing that I've got to do is I've got to stay close to the cross. Why? Because there's an enemy that's poking me. There's an enemy, amen, that's trying to direct my attention to any little thing that is negative and stuff. I've got to stay close to Jesus. because the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Praise God. Amen. Another way that he will come against you is through emotional highs and emotional lows. Amen. And you've got to make sure, you've got to try to get on an even keel. You've got to stay as level as you possibly can. And I know that it's hard, but that's why that the Lord says and talks to us about through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That doesn't mean that in my own ability and power that I have the power to do the impossible and things like that. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Amen. That verse is one of the most misconstrued, taken out of context verses in all of the Bible. Amen. You got people that are basically heathen and they're saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's not what that verse means. When you read the context of the verse, Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be hungry and I know how to be filled. But I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Which simply means, if I am being abased and I am the low, amen, I can do it because Christ strengthens me. And if I am if everything is going well for me, it's not going to overtake me and I'm not going to get a big head and I'm not going to go off into the deep end. I can do it because Christ strengthens me. If I'm poor and I'm hungry and I don't know how I'm going to make it, I can do it because Christ strengthens me. But if I'm full and I have enough food to eat at every meal that I throw stuff away, amen, again, I don't let it get in my head. I do it because Christ strengthened me. No matter what situation in life I find myself in, I can make it through it because God is the source of my strength. With that said, you're going to face emotional highs. Everything's going to be going your way. Amen. But sometimes, let me just say it like this. Amen. Somebody jump up. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, Brother Hunter. Let me just say it like this. That sometimes, now you're going to go that way, all right? You're going that way. And sometimes the devil's trying to drag you back. He's trying to pull you back. But you know what? When he sees that he can't pull you back, you're going to keep going that way. He's going to jump up here in front of you and he's going to pull you to the top. You can be just as tempted being dirt broke and poor as you can be having everything in life that you want. And according to the ministers that I have talked to, they said, I'd rather face the times of being poor when you're scraping through, because you got to hold on to God and you got to believe God and you got to trust God. But all of a sudden, when everything is going your way and you got money in the bank and all that stuff, you don't have to trust God for the car to start. You don't have to trust God for, amen, food to be on the table. You don't have to trust God for something other than ramen noodles. You don't have to trust God for something more than beans and cornbread. You don't have to trust God, amen, for, amen, another few pennies in the bank account and all that. You don't have to do that. It's just already there. And sometimes that test can be harder than the other test when you got to trust God for every little thing. But you see, the devil understands that we are emotional people. And when he can't hold you back, and he's doing everything that he can to hold you back, and he can't stay on that low end, he'll just swap ends and he'll welcome you into success. Amen. And whereas failure may have killed her thousands, success has killed her tens of thousands. You got to make sure that you're holding on to God. Amen. And you recognize the enemy in all things and you stay true to God. Amen. And when the enemy comes in and says, oh, Betty, I'm going to give you a job. You're going to make 7-digit figures. Amen. On an annual salary. And you're like, bless God. I know that's the will of God. I don't even have to pray about it. Hello. You better be praying about it. You better be praying about it. Amen. Praise God. 7-digit figures on an annual salary sounds great. The problem is for my annual salary, that 7-digit figures includes a whole lot of decimal zeros behind it. Praise God. God's good, isn't he? God's good. Thank you, Jesus. And so through this and with this, we go through different storms in life. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your last name is. You are going to go through storms in life. You're going to. It's going to happen. You know why? Because the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's just, devil doesn't want you to go to heaven. God doesn't want you to go to hell. There's a struggle, an ongoing struggle. Praise God. And so you're going to go through storms in life. It's just a given. You're going to go through, and we're not going to talk about all different storms and stuff. We're just going to talk about three varying issues. The first storm that you could go through, and we're just going to talk to you about like this, is just a storm of disobedience. Devil didn't do it. God didn't do it. You did it. And we've got to own up to it. We've got to recognize it. Say, you know, the reason that I am in this situation is because of the choice that I made. It wasn't because of the devil. It wasn't because of God. Because of me. That's what Moses said. When Moses was standing there looking over there into the promised land, and the Lord said, you can look, but you don't get to go in there. Moses could have said, God, why are you doing this to me? God said, I didn't do that. I didn't do it. You did it. Moses could have looked at the devil and said, devil, I hate you. You didn't let me do it. The devil said, I didn't do anything. You just let your temper get the best of you. And you smote the rock when you were supposed to speak to it. And because of your disobedience, you got to go through a storm. You know what? Every one of us will go through storms of disobedience. Amen. We will go through storms of disobedience. And the quicker that we realize that, the quicker that we will get through that. But if you're being disobedient and you're sitting there resisting and rebuking the devil, and we've already talked about rebuking the devil, but if you're sitting there fighting against the devil and the devil's just sitting down laughing because he didn't have anything to do with it, your disobedience did. And so that's where that we've got to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. And so we got to back up and we got to go repent. And we submit ourselves, therefore, to God. And then the devil jumps up and gets to work. He says, hey, you know, don't be doing that too fast. And you got to resist the devil. And he will flee from you. But some of these tests, some of these storms come because you initiated it. All right? Some of the storms that I go through are because I initiated it. And the quicker that I realize that, and I go back to my mistake, and I fix it or I correct myself, whatever, and get going, the quicker I get over that. All right? I don't say it's that simple, but that's really the fix. All right? You can sit there and resist the devil and blame God and blame the devil and stuff. But really, in reality, it's just you. Okay? It's just me. All right? Why? Because we're flesh. We got a tendency for that. Man is but a few days and full of trouble. So we got to realize that. We ain't blaming it on the devil. We ain't blaming it on God. We're taking responsibility for it, backing up, fixing the issue, taking off again. All right? That's some storms in life. Praise God. Some storms in life, you can get through that. Some storms in life, you make such a mess of everything and stuff, it takes you a little while to get out of it. That's not the devil's fault. That's not God's fault. That's our fault. But we still have to back up, get it fixed, and then we have to start plodding our way through it. And finally, we'll break through. Now, some people say, oh, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. So I'm going to be disobedient. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then I'm going to go get forgiveness and stuff. And I'm going to acknowledge that it was my storm. And then I'm going to come through it on the other side. And I'm going to be fine. I'll just say that Jacob spent years fixing his mistakes. So what I am saying is don't get into this place that you say, well, I'm just going to go over here and do this real quick, and then I'm going to say, oh, my bad, forgive me, and jump over here and then just continue on. No, sometimes you may set yourself back years. Some things don't fix overnight. You know, when you get yourself in trouble with the law, they don't fix overnight. You know, and the law is looking for you, but you run to the church and go to an altar and pray through, and you think that because God forgives you that the law ought to forgive you. And now the law comes knocking on your door and says, no, you're going to spend time in jail. Oh, you can't do that. I repented. You still pay the price. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So that's one of our storms. One of our storms is just simply because of our disobedience. Another storm that we would go through is a God-caused storm. God puts us through storms. Yes, he does. As a matter of fact, the book of Nahum says that God has his way in the whirlwind and the storm. So in other words, God has his way, thank God. He must have been talking about Kansas, but he has his way in the tornado. He has his way in the tornado and in the storm. Okay? And then it also says right there that the clouds are the dust of his feet. I'll talk about that here in just a moment. But the clouds are the dust of his feet. And so there are some storms that God puts in our life, and there is a purpose for that. And the purpose ought to be that in that storm that we draw closer to God. In that storm, we get a greater revelation of who that God is. In the storm, when the disciples feel like they're sinking, they turned around and they looked at Jesus and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Lord stood up and he said, oh, ye of little faith. He stepped to the bow of the boat and he said, peace be still. And the winds and the waves, they immediately obeyed his voice to where the disciples looked, and they got a greater revelation of the Lord. And they said, wow, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? Because some storms come into your life so that you can get a greater revelation of God, or so that you will draw closer to God. You may be getting wayward in your way, and God causes the storms to rumble in your life. Amen. And you run back to the Master and hold close to him, and the storm has served its purpose. And then there is a third storm that we would go through, and it is demonically orchestrated. It's a storm that Satan brings us through. It's a storm that Satan comes in. But there is a significant difference, because when God orchestrates a storm in your life, you're going to come out closer to God. When the devil orchestrates a storm in your life, if you're not careful, you're going to come out way from God. God's trying to draw you closer. The devil's trying to push you further away. And you've got to recognize this. As you're going through the storm, you're praying and you're saying, is this causing me? Amen. Am I my desire to draw closer to God? Amen. Or am I being pushed away from God, being let out? Amen. By my emotions, by my carnality. Amen. Being tempted by this, tempted by that. Do you think that if you're going through a storm, amen, and God and alcohol is on the plate every day, amen, for you to sip and partake of it, do you think that's a storm from God? No, that's not a storm from God. We read it in James 1 and 13 that God is not and cannot be tempted, and neither will he tempt any man. And so you've got to realize there are some things, some significant factors in your storm that ought to cause you to understand what kind of storm that I am in. You're coming to church and you feel disgruntled. Is that a God-given storm, or is that a satanic storm? You're telling me that God wants you to be disgruntled? That's a satanic storm. Amen. You're disgruntled because the enemy is trying to push you out. Amen. You're coming to church and you're just not happy. Is that a God-given storm or a satanic storm? Amen. God doesn't, amen. You go through the Bible and you show me where God wants you to be unhappy. Amen. God talks about his joy and talks about, amen, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. But you're here in life and you're just not happy. It's a satanic storm that God, that the devil is trying to push you further away from God. Amen. And we could when you're filled full of hate and bitterness and anger and stuff, is that a God storm or a satanic storm? You step back and you're like, you know what? I'm fighting spirits of hate. I'm fighting spirits of bitterness. I'm fighting spirits of anger and malice and all these other things, and I'm just mad half the time, if not all the time. Amen. You got to wait a second. This isn't God. This is the devil. And you go back and you look and you say, you know what? I've been obedient to God. This isn't a storm of disobedience. This is a satanic storm. Amen. And that ought to cause you to turn and run back to the master and say, God, the devil's trying to get me. Come on, somebody. You need to recognize the storms that you are in. Hey, man, if you're in a storm and you feel like praying, you feel like going to God and considering His ways, that's God trying to draw you closer to Him. But you've got to recognize what kind of storm that you are in so that you can be able to resist. If God is trying to do it, you don't need to resist to Him, but you need to cling to Him and draw to Him. But if you're full of bitterness and anger and angst and malice and hate and all of those other things that are the work of the flesh. Amen. If you're full of carnality, if you're full of the love of the world and the lust of the eyes and all of that stuff, you ought to be able to recognize this is of the devil. And that ought to cause you to run back to God and begin to resist the devil. Amen. You've got to recognize him, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that everybody else is going through some of the same things. But if you resist the devil, he shall flee from you. Let's stand here tonight. You got to recognize things like hate, confusion,
right. Yes.
Discord.
Yes.
Because God isn't any of those. God is love.
Amen.
You've got to recognize things such as division. Amen. And sowing division. Because God hates that.
Yeah.
You're telling me, I mean, that's why God hates gossip. Because you know what gossip does? It sows dissension.
Right. Yes, it does.
Sows division. And then you've got people that hate that you come to this church. And so all they want to do is just talk. Sow in discord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You got to recognize that. You can't give place to the devil. Why? Because it's your soul. It's your salvation. And if you let seeds of bitterness and dissension and discord and get into your heart and into your spirit, those seeds are going to come up. I was talking to a young man one time, and I told him, I said, now, you need to be careful. I said, because that individual is just an extremely bitter backslider. And he was going to have to be dealing with him. And he said, well, I appreciate you letting me know. And I said, I don't know what they'll say, but you just need to be careful. You need to protect your spirit. We need to protect our spirits. Because the devil doesn't do anything casually, half-heartedly. There's a purpose. There's a purpose behind. You've got to recognize it in order to resist it. God tells people his thoughts, brings understanding to them. The devil operates in the arena of confusion, misunderstandings. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But yet the enemy is all about negativity and depressions. We have to recognize how the enemy is coming. He may be coming as a roaring lion, and we can quickly recognize that. But he may be presenting himself as an angel of light, and you've got to as quickly recognize it so that you can resist his ways and his temptations, so that you're not giving place to the devil, so that we're not ignorant concerning the devil's ways, lest he should get the advantage of us. Finally, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. This is something that we have to recognize. Am I fighting condemnation?
Right.
Or am I fighting conviction?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Because if it's conviction, that's God drawing me to him. But if it's condemnation, that's the devil pushing me away from him. So when you recognize that, I'm just fighting this condemnation, and it's pushing you further away from God, that's the devil. You've got to recognize it. You've got to recognize it and then resist it. But if it's drawing you to God, then that's repentance and conviction working. And it draws you to God, and you come to God. And you repent and you feel so much better. That's the difference between conviction and condemnation. But you, I, we have to recognize that. What is this doing to me? Is it pushing me away, or is it drawing me closer? Does this conversation pull me away or draw me in too? I recognize these things because I have an enemy that is set to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Am I happy? Am I unhappy? God doesn't want me to be unhappy. What's going on? I evaluate. I understand. And in the process of understanding, I can do what I need to do. Amen? Praise God. Why don't you bring your thoughts? Why don't you bring your cares to the altar here tonight? Tonight, as I was preaching, there was lights of revelation began to come on in your life. Why don't you bring those cares and cast them upon the Lord? Why don't you bring those problems? Why don't you bring that storm? And you set it down before the Lord and just evaluate it for a little while. Is this of God or is this of the devil? If it's of God, what does he want me to do? If it's of the devil, how can I resist him? Evaluate it. Happiness, anger, condemnation, conviction. What's going on? So that I might understand, so that I would know how to resist the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's take some time. Let's take some time. The moment and the hour is early. Let's take some time to think on the Lord. Let's take some time to recognize, man, the enemy, his devices, what he's doing in our life, where he has reign, where he has power, where he has authority. Well, let's take some time to evaluate that. How can I fix that? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. I'm looking for a lion, and it's a little fox. I need to recognize this.